and we adjusted the hopper's positions a few times. Then I set a perimeter. It didn't feel safe, and while there were a couple of survival hut kits in the hoppers, no one suggested putting them up. The humans would stay in the hoppers for now, communicating over the comm in the hopper's limited feed. It wasn't going to be comfortable for the humans. Sanitary and hygiene facilities were small and limited, for one thing, but it would be more secure. Large and small fauna moved within range of our scanners, curious and potentially as dangerous as the people who wanted to kill my clients. I went out with some drones to do a little scouting and make sure there was no sign of anything big enough to, say, drag the little hopper off in the middle of the night. It gave me a chance to think, too. They knew about the governor module, or the lack of it, and even though Mensa had sworn she wouldn't report me, I had to think about what I wanted to do. It's wrong to think of a construct as half-bot, half-human. It makes us sound like the halves are discrete, like the bot half should want to obey orders and do its job, and the human half should want to protect itself and get the hell out of here. As opposed to the reality, which was that I was one whole, confused entity with no idea what I wanted to do, what I should do, what I needed to do. I could leave them to cope on their own, I guess. I pictured doing that, pictured Arata or Rati trapped by rogue sec units, and felt my insides twist. I hate having emotions about reality. I'd much rather have them about Sanctuary Moon. And what was I supposed to do? Go off on this empty planet and just live until my power cells died? If I was going to do that, I should have planned better and downloaded more entertainment media. I don't think I could store enough to last until my power cells wore out. My specs told me that would be hundreds of thousands of hours from now. And even to me, that sounded like a stupid thing to do. Oversay had set up some remote sensing equipment that would help warn us if anything tried to scan the area. As the humans climbed back into the two hoppers, I did a quick head count on the feed, making sure they were all still there. Mensa waited on the ramp, indicating she wanted to talk to me in private. I muted my feed in the comm, and she said, "I know you're more comfortable with keeping your helmet opaque, but the situation has changed. We need to see you." I didn't want to do it, now more than ever. They knew too much about me. But I needed them to trust me so I could keep them alive and keep doing my job. The good version of my job, not the half-assed version of my job that I'd been doing before things started trying to kill my clients. I still didn't want to do it. "It's usually better if humans think of me as a robot," I said. "Maybe, under normal circumstances." She was looking a little off to one side, not trying to make eye contact, which I appreciated. "But this situation is different. It would be better if they could think of you as a person who's trying to help, because that's how I think of you." My insides melted. That's the only way I could describe it. After a minute, when I had my expression under control, I cleared the faceplate and had it and the helmet fold back into my armor. She said, "Thank you." And I followed her up into the hopper. The others were stowing the equipment and supplies that had gotten tossed in right before takeoff. "If they restore the satellite function," Rati was saying. "They won't chance that until... unless they get us," Arata said. Over the comm, Pin Lee sighed, angry and frustrated.
"If only we knew who these assholes were!"
"We need to talk about our next move." Mensa cut through all the chatter and took a seat in the back where she could see the whole compartment. The others sat down to face her, Rati turning one of the mobile seats around. I sat down on the bench against the starboard wall. The feed gave us a view of the little hopper's compartment, with the rest of the team sitting there, checking in to show they were listening. Mensa continued. "There's another question I'd like the answer to." Garothan looked at me expectantly. "She isn't talking about me, idiot." Rati nodded glumly.
"Why? Why are these people doing this? What is worth this to them?"
"It has to have something to do with those blanked out sections on the map," Oversay said.
She was calling up the stored images on her feed. There's obviously something there they want, that they didn't want us or Deltfall to find. Mensa got up to pace. Did you turn up anything in the analysis? In the feed, Arata did a quick consult with Baradwaj and Valescu. Not yet, but we hadn't finished running all the tests. We hadn't turned up anything interesting so far. Do they really expect to get away with this? Rati turned to me like he was expecting an answer. Obviously, they can hack the company's systems and the satellite, and they intend to put the blame on the SEC units, but the investigation will surely be thorough. They must know this. There were too many factors in play, and too many things we didn't know. But I'm supposed to answer direct questions, and even without the governor module, old habits die hard. They may believe the company and whoever your beneficiaries are won't look any further than the rogue SEC units. But they can't make two whole survey teams disappear unless their corporate or political entity doesn't care about them. Does Deltfall's care? Does yours? That made them all stare at me for some reason. I had to turn and look out the port. I wanted to seal my helmet so badly my organic parts started to sweat, but I replayed the conversation with Mensa and managed not to. Valescu said, "You don't know who we are? They didn't tell you?" There was an info packet in my initial download. I was still staring out at the heavy green tangle just past the rocks. I really didn't want to get into how little I paid attention to my job. I didn't read it. Arata said gently, "Why not?" With all of them staring at me, I couldn't come up with a good lie. I didn't care. Garothan said, "You expect us to believe that?" I felt my face move, my jaw harden. Physical reactions I couldn't suppress. I'll try to be more accurate. I was indifferent and vaguely annoyed. "Do you believe that?" He said, "Why don't you want us to look at you?" My jaw was so tight it triggered a performance reliability alert in my feed. I said, "You don't need to look at me. I'm not a sex bot." Rati made a noise, half sigh, half snort of exasperation. It wasn't directed at me. He said, "Garothan, I told you, it's shy." Oversay added, "It doesn't want to interact with humans, and why should it? You know how constructs are treated, especially in corporate political environments." Garothan turned to me. "So you don't have a governor module, but we could punish you by looking at you?" I looked at him. "Probably, right up until I remember I have guns built into my arms." With an ironic edge to her voice, Mensa said, "There, Garothan, it's threatened you, but it didn't resort to violence. Are you satisfied now?" He sat back. "For now." So he had been testing me. Wow, that was brave, and very, very stupid. To me, he said, "I want to make certain you're not under any outside compulsion." "That's enough." Arata got up and sat down next to me. I didn't want to push past her, so this pinned me in the corner. She said, "You need to give it time. It's never interacted with humans as an openly free agent before now. This is a learning experience for all of us." The others nodded, like this made sense. Mensa sent me a private message through the feed. "I hope you're all right. Because you need me." I don't know where that came from. All right, it came from me, but she was my client. I was a SEC unit. There was no emotional contract between us. There was no rational reason for me to sound like a whiny human baby. "Of course I need you. I've no experience in anything like this. None of us do." Sometimes humans can't help but let emotion bleed through into the feed. She was furious and frightened, not at me, at the people who would do this, kill like this, slaughter a whole survey team and leave the SEC units to take the blame. She was struggling with her anger, though nothing showed on her face except calm concern. Through the feed, I felt her steel herself. "You're the only one here who won't panic. The longer this situation goes on, the others. We have to stay together. Use our heads." That was absolutely true.
and I could help just by being the sec unit. I was the one who was supposed to keep everybody safe. I panic all the time. You just can't see it, I told her. I added the text signifier for joke. She didn't answer, but she looked down, smiling to herself. Rati was saying, There's another question. Where are they? They came toward our habitat out of the south, but that doesn't tell us anything. I said, I left 3 drones at our habitat. They don't have scanning function with hub system down, but the visual and audio recording will still work. They may pick up something that will answer your questions. I'd left 1 drone in a tree with a long-range view of the habitat, 1 tucked under the extendable roof over the entrance, and 1 inside the hub, hidden under a console. They were on the next setting to inert, recording only, so when evil survey scanned, the drones would be buried in the ambient energy readings from the habitat's environmental system. I hadn't been able to connect the drones to sec system like I normally did, so it could store the data and filter out the boring parts. I knew evil survey would check for that, which was why I had dumped sec system storage into the big hopper system and then purged it. I also didn't want them knowing any more about me than they already did. Everyone was looking at me again, surprised that Murderbot had had a plan. Frankly, I didn't blame them. Our education modules didn't have anything like that in it, but this was another way all the thrillers and adventures I'd watched or read were finally starting to come in handy. Mensa lifted her brows in appreciation. She said, But you can't pick up their signal from here. No, I'll have to go back to get the data, I told her. Pin Lee leaned farther into the little hopper's camera range.
I should be able to attach one of the small scanners to a drone. It'll be bulky and slow, but that would give us something other than just audio and visual.
Mensa nodded.
Do it. But remember, our resources are limited.
She tapped me in the feed so I'd know she was talking to me without her looking at me.
How long do you think the other group will stay at our habitat?
There was a groan from Valescu in the other hopper.
All our samples. We have our data, but if they destroy our work...
The others were agreeing with him, expressing frustration and worry. I tuned them out and answered Mensa. I don't think they'll stay long. There's nothing there they want. For just an instant, Mensa let her expressions show how worried she was.
Because they want us, she said softly.
She was absolutely right about that, too. Mensa set up a watch schedule, including time for me to go into standby and do a diagnostic and recharge cycle. I was also planning to use the time to watch some Sanctuary Moon and recharge my ability to cope with humans at close quarters without losing my mind. After the humans had settled down, either sleeping or deep in their own feeds, I walked the perimeter and checked the drones. The night was noisier than the day, but so far nothing bigger than insects and a few reptiles had come near the hoppers. When I cycled through the big hopper's hatch, Rati was the human on watch, sitting up in the cockpit and keeping an eye on its scanners. I moved up past the crew section and sat next to him. He nodded to me and said, All's well? Yes. I didn't want to, but I had to ask. When I was looking for permanent storage for all my entertainment downloads, the info packet was one of the files I'd purged. I know, but I'm used to having all the extra storage on sec system. Remembering what Mensa had said, I unsealed my helmet. It was easier with just Rati, both of us facing toward the console. Why did everyone think it was so strange that I asked if your political entity would miss you? Rati smiled at the console. Because Dr. Mensa is our political entity. He made a little gesture, turning his hand palm up. We're from Preservation Alliance, one of the non-corporate system entities. Dr. Mensa is the current admin director on the steering committee. It's an elected position with a limited term. But one of the principles of our home is that our admins must also continue their regular work, whatever it is. Her regular work required this survey, so here she is, and here we are. Yeah, I felt a little stupid.
I was still processing it when he said, "You know, in preservation-controlled territory, bots are considered full citizens. A construct would fall under the same category." He said this in the tone of giving me a hint. Whatever. Bots who are full citizens still have to have a human or augmented human guardian appointed, usually their employer. I'd seen it on the news feeds. And the entertainment feed, where the bots were all happy servants or were secretly in love with their guardians. If it showed the bots hanging out, watching the entertainment feed all through the day cycle with no one trying to make them talk about their feelings, I would have been a lot more interested. But the company knows who she is. Rati sighed. Oh, yes, they know. You would not believe what we had to pay to guarantee the bond on the survey. These corporate arseholes are robbers. It meant if we ever managed to launch the beacon, the company wouldn't screw around. The transport would get here fast. No bribe from evil survey could stop it. They might even send a faster security ship to check out the problem before the transport could arrive. The bond on a political leader was high, but the payout the company would have to make if something happened to her was off the chart. The huge payout, being humiliated in front of the other bond companies and in the news feeds? I leaned back in my seat and sealed my helmet to think about it. We didn't know who Evil Survey was, who we were dealing with, but I bet that they didn't either. Mensa's status was only in the security info packet stored on Sex System, which they had never gotten access to. The dueling investigations, if something happened to us, were bound to be thorough, as the company would be desperate for something to blame it on, and the beneficiaries would be desperate to blame it on the company. Neither would be fooled long by the rogue sec unit setup. I didn't see how we could use it. Not right now, anyway. It didn't comfort me, and I'm pretty sure it wouldn't comfort the humans to know the stupid company would avenge them if, or when, they all got murdered. So, mid-afternoon the next day, I got ready to take the little hopper back within range of the habitat so I could hopefully pick up intel from the drones. I wanted to go alone, but since nobody ever listens to me, Mensa, Pin Lee, and Rati were going too. I was depressed this morning. I'd tried watching some new serials last night, and even they couldn't distract me. Reality was too intrusive. It was hard not to think about how everything was going to go wrong, and they were all going to die, and I was going to get blasted to pieces or get another governor module stuck in me. Garothan walked up to me while I was doing the pre-flight and said, "I'm coming with you." That was about all I needed right now. I finished the diagnostic on the power cells. "I thought you were satisfied." It took him a minute. "What I said last night, yes. I remember every word ever said to me." That was a lie. Who would want that? Most of it I delete from permanent memory. He didn't say anything. On the feed, Mensa told me that I didn't have to take him if I didn't want to, or if I thought it would compromise team security. I knew Garothan was testing me again, but if something went wrong and he got killed, I wouldn't mind as much as I would if it was one of the others. I wished Mensa, Rati, and Pin Lee weren't coming. I didn't want to risk them. And on the long trip, Rati might be tempted to try to make me talk about my feelings. I told Mensa it was fine, and we got ready to lift off. I wanted a long time to circle west, so if Evil Survey picked us up, they wouldn't be able to extrapolate the human's location from my course. By the time I was in position for the approach to the habitat, the light was failing. When we got to the target zone, it would be full dark. The humans hadn't gotten a lot of sleep last night, from the crowding and the strong possibility of dying. Mensa, Rati, and Pin Lee had been too tired to talk much and had fallen asleep. Garothan was sitting in the co-pilot seat and hadn't said a word the whole time. We were flying in dark mode, with no lights. No transmissions. I was plugged into the little hopper's internal limited feed so I could watch the scans carefully. Garothan was aware of the feed through his implant. I could feel him in there, but wasn't using it except to keep track of where we were. When he said,
I have a question.
I flinched. The silence up to this point had lulled me into a false sense of security. I didn't look at him, though I knew through the feed that he was looking at me. I hadn't closed my helmet. I didn't feel like hiding from him. After a moment, I realized he was waiting for my permission. That was weirdly new. It was tempting to ignore him, but I was wondering what the test would be this time. Something he didn't want the others to hear? I said, "Go ahead." He said, "Did they punish you for the deaths of the mining team?" It wasn't completely a surprise. I think they all wanted to ask about it, but maybe he was the only one abrasive enough, or brave enough. It's one thing to poke a murder bot with a governor module. Poking a rogue murder bot is a whole different proposition. I said, "No, not like you're thinking. Not the way a human would be punished. They shut me down for a while and then brought me back online at intervals." He hesitated.
"You weren't aware of it?"
Yeah, that would be the easy way out, wouldn't it? "The organic parts mostly sleep, but not always. You know something's happening. They were trying to purge my memory. We're too expensive to destroy." He looked out the port again. We were flying low over trees, and I had a lot of my attention on the terrain sensors. I felt the brush of Mensa's awareness in the feed. She must have woken when Garothan spoke. He finally said,
"You don't blame humans for what you were forced to do? For what happened to you?"
"This is why I'm glad I'm not human. They come up with stuff like this." I said, "No, that's a human thing to do. Constructs aren't that stupid." What was I supposed to do? Kill all humans because the ones in charge of constructs in the company were callous? Granted, I liked the imaginary people on the entertainment feed way more than I liked real ones, but you can't have one without the other. The others started to stir, waking and sitting up, and he didn't ask me anything else. By the time we got within range, it was a cloudless night with the ring glowing in the sky like a ribbon. I had already dropped speed, and we were moving slowly over the sparse trees decorating the hills at the edge of the habitat's plain. I had been waiting for the drones to ping me, which they would if this had worked and Evil Survey hadn't found them. When I felt that first cautious touch on my feed, I stopped the hopper and dropped it down below the tree line. I landed on a hillside, the hopper's pads extending to compensate. The humans were waiting, nervy and impatient, but no one spoke. You couldn't see anything from here except the next hill and a lot of tree trunks. All three drones were still active. I answered the pings, trying to keep my transmission as quick as possible. After a tense moment, the downloads started. I could tell from the timestamps that, with nobody there to instruct them not to, the drones had recorded everything from the moment I'd deployed them to now. Even though the part we were most interested in would be near the beginning, that was a lot of data. I didn't want to stay here long enough to parse it myself, so I pushed half of it into the feed for Garothan. Again, he didn't say anything, just turned in his chair to lie back, close his eyes, and start reviewing it. I checked the drone stationed outside in the tree first, running its video at high speed until I found the moment where it had caught a good image of the Evil Survey craft. It was a big hopper, a newer model than ours, nothing about it to cause anybody any pause. It circled the habitat a few times, probably scanning, and then landed on our empty pad. They must know we were gone, with no aircraft on the pad and no answer on their comm, so they didn't bother to pretend to be here to borrow some tools or exchange sight data. 5 sec units piled out of the cargo pods, all armed with the big projectile weapons assigned to protect survey teams on planets with hazardous fauna, like this one. From the pattern on their armor chest plates, 2 were the surviving Deltfall units. They must have been put into their cubicles after we escaped the Deltfall habitat. 3 were Evil Survey, which had a square gray logo. I focused in on it and sent it to the others. "Gray, Chris," Pinley read aloud. "Ever heard of it?" Rati said, and the others said no.
All 5 SEC units would have the combat override modules installed. They started toward the habitat, and 5 humans, anonymous in their color-coded field suits, climbed out of the hopper and followed. They were all armed, too, with the hand weapons the company provided that were only supposed to be used for fauna-related emergencies. I focused as far in on the humans as the image quality would allow. They spent a lot of time scanning and checking for traps, which made me even more glad I hadn't wasted time setting any. But there was something about them that made me think I wasn't looking at professionals. They weren't soldiers any more than I was. Their SEC units weren't combat units, just regular security rented from the company. That was a relief. At least I wasn't the only one who didn't know what I was doing. Finally, I watched them enter the habitat, leaving 2 SEC units outside to guard their hopper. I tagged the section, passed it to Mensa and the others for review, and then kept watching. Garothan sat up suddenly and muttered a curse in a language I didn't know. I noted it to look up later on the big hopper's language center, then forgot about it when he said, "We have a problem." I put my part of the drone's download on pause and looked at the section he had just tagged. It was from the drone hidden in the hub. The visual was a blurred image of a curved support strut, but the audio was a human voice saying, "You knew we were coming. So I assume you have some way to watch us while we're here." The voice spoke standard lexicon with a flat accent. "We've destroyed your beacon. Come to these coordinates." She spoke a set of longitude and latitude numbers that the little hopper helpfully mapped for me and a timestamp. "At this time, and we can come to some arrangement. This doesn't have to end in violence. We're happy to pay you off or whatever you want." There was nothing else, steps fading until the door slid shut. Garothan, Pin Lee, and Rati all started to speak at once. Mensa said, "Quiet." They shut up. "SEC unit, your opinion." Fortunately, I had one now. Up to the point where we'd gotten the drone download, my opinion had been mostly, "Oh, shit." I said, "They have nothing to lose. If we come to this rendezvous, they can kill us and stop worrying about us. If we don't, they have until the end of project date to search for us." Garothan was reviewing the landing video now. He said, "Another indication it isn't the company. They obviously don't want to chase us until the end of project date." I said, "I told you it wasn't the company." Mensa interrupted Garothan before he could respond. "They think we know why they're here. Why they're doing this." "They're wrong," Rati said, frustrated. Mensa's brow furrowed as she picked apart the problem for the other humans. "But why do they think that? It must be because they know we went to one of the unmapped regions. That means the data we collected must have the answer." Pin Lee nodded.
"So the others may know by now."
"It gives us leverage," Mensa said thoughtfully.
"But what can we do with it?"
And then I had a great idea. Chapter 7. So at the appointed time the next day, Mensa and I were flying toward the rendezvous point. Garothan and Pin Lee had taken one of my drones and rebuilt it with a limited scanning attachment. Limited because the drone was too small for most of the components a longer and wider range scanner would need. Last night I had sent it into upper atmosphere to give us a view of the site. The location was near their survey base, which was only about 2 kilos away, a habitat similar to Delt Falls. By the size of their habitat and the number of SEC units, including the one Mensa had taken out with a mining drill, they had between 30 and 40 team members. They were obviously very confident, but then they'd had access to our hub, and they knew they were dealing with a small group of scientists and researchers and one messed-up second-hand SEC unit. I just hoped they didn't realize how messed up I actually was. When the hopper picked up the first blip of scanner contact, Mensa hit the comm immediately.
Graycris, be advised that my party has secured evidence of your activities on this planet and hidden it in various places where it will transmit to the pickup ship whenever it arrives. She let that sink in for 3 seconds, then added, "You know we found the missing map sections." There was a long pause. I was slowing us down, scanning for incoming weapons, even though the chances were good they didn't have any. The comm channel came alive and a voice said, "We can discuss our situation. An arrangement can be made." There was so much scanning and anti-scanning going on, the voice was made of static. It was creepy. "Land your vehicle and we can discuss it." Mensa gave it a minute, as if she was thinking it over, then answered, "I'll send our sec unit to speak to you." She cut the comm off. As we got closer, we had a visual on the site. It was a low plateau, surrounded by trees. Their habitat was visible to the west. Because the trees encroached on their campsite, their domes and vehicle landing pad were elevated on wide platforms. The company required this as a security feature if you wanted your base to be anywhere without open terrain around it. It cost extra, and if you didn't want it, it cost even more to guarantee your bond. It was one of the reasons I thought my great idea would work. In the open area on the plateau were 7 figures, 4 sec units and 3 humans in the color-coded enviro suits, blue, green, and yellow. It meant they had 1 sec unit and probably 27-plus humans back at their habitat, if they had followed the rule of 1 rental sec unit per 10 humans. I sat us down below the plateau, on a relatively flat rock, the view blocked by brush and trees. I put the pilot's console on standby and looked at Mensa. She pressed her lips together like she wanted to say something and was repressing the urge. Then she nodded firmly and said, "Good luck." I felt like I should say something to her and didn't know what, and just stared at her awkwardly for a few seconds. Then I sealed up my helmet and got out of the hopper as fast as I could. I went through the trees, listening for that 5th sec unit just in case it was hiding somewhere waiting for me, but there was no sound of movement in the undergrowth. I came out of cover and climbed the rocky slope to the plateau, then walked toward the other group, listening to the crackle on my comm. They were going to let me get close, which was a relief. I'd hate to be wrong about this. It would make me feel pretty stupid. I stopped several meters away, opened the channel and said, "This is the sec unit assigned to the Preservation Ox survey team. I was sent to speak to you about an arrangement." I felt the pulse then, a signal bundle designed to take over my governor module and freeze it, and freeze me. The idea was obviously to immobilize me, then insert the combat override module into my data port again. That was why they had had to arrange the meeting so close to their hub. They had needed the equipment there to be able to do this. It wasn't something they could send through the feed. So it's a good thing my governor module wasn't working and all I felt was a mild tickle. One of them started toward me. I said, "I assume you're about to try to install another combat override module and send me back to kill them." I opened my gun ports and expanded the weapons in my arms, then folded them back in. "I don't recommend that course of action." The sec units went into alert mode. The human who had started forward froze, then backed away. The body language of the others was flustered, startled. I could tell from the faint comm static that they were talking to each other on their own system. I said, "Anyone want to comment on that?" That got their attention. There was no reply. Not a surprise. The only people I've run into who actually want to get into conversations with sec units are my weird humans. I said, "I have an alternate solution to both our problems." The one in the blue enviro suit said, "You have a solution." The voice was the same one who had made the offer in our hub. It was also very skeptical, which you can imagine. To them, talking to me was like talking to a hopper or a piece of mining equipment. I said, "You weren't the first to hack Preservation Ox's hub system." She had opened their comm channel to talk to me, and I heard one of the others whisper, "It's a trick. One of the surveyors is telling it what to say."
I said, "Your scans should show I've cut my comm." This was the point where I had to say it. It was still hard, even though I knew I didn't have a choice, even though it was part of my own stupid plan. I don't have a working governor module. That over, I was glad to get back to the lying part. They don't know that. I'm amenable to a compromise that benefits you as well as me. The blue leader said, "Are they telling the truth about knowing why we're here?" That was still annoying, even though I knew we had allowed plenty of time for this part. "You used combat override modules to make the Deltfall sec units behave like rogues. If you think a real rogue sec unit still has to answer your questions, the next few minutes are going to be an education for you." The blue leader shut me out of their comm channel. There was a long silence while they talked it over. Then she came back on and said, "What compromise?" "I can give you information you desperately need. In exchange, you take me onto the pickup ship with you, but list me as destroyed inventory. That would mean nobody from the company would be expecting me back, and I could slip off in the confusion when the transport docked at the transit station, theoretically." There was another hesitation, because they had to pretend to think it over, I guess. Then the blue leader said, "We agree. If you're lying, then we'll destroy you." It was perfunctory. They intended to insert a combat override module into me before they left the planet. She continued, "What is the information?" I said, "First, remove me from the inventory. I know you still have a connection to our hub." Blue leader made an impatient gesture at Yellow. He said, "We'll have to restart their hub system. That will take some time." I said, "Initiate the restart, cue the command, and then show me on your feed. Then I'll give you the information." Blue leader closed me out of the comm channel and spoke to Yellow again. There was a 3-minute wait. Then the channel opened again and I got a limited access to their feed. The command was in a queue, though of course they would have time to delete it later. The important points were that our hub system had been reactivated and that I could convincingly pretend to believe them. I had been watching the time, and we were now in the target window, so there was no more reason to stall. I said, "Since you destroyed my client's beacon, they've sent a group to your beacon to manually trigger it." Even with limited access to their feed, I could see that got them. Body language all over the place, from confusion to fear. The yellow one moved uncertainly. The green one looked at blue leader. In that flat accent, she said, "That's impossible." I said, "One of them is an augmented human, a systems engineer. He can make it launch. Check the data you got from our hub system. It's Surveyor Dr. Garofin." Blue leader was showing tension from her shoulders all down her body. She really didn't want anybody coming to this planet, not until they had taken care of their witness problem. Green said, "It's lying." A trace of panic in his voice, Yellow said, "We can't chance it." Blue leader turned to him. "It's possible then?" Yellow hesitated. "I don't know. The company's systems are all proprietary, but if they have an augmented human who can hack into it?" "We have to go there now," blue leader said. She turned to me. "Sec unit, tell your client to get out of the hopper and come here. Tell her we've come to an arrangement." All right. Wow, that was not in the plan. They were supposed to leave without us. Last night, Garofin had said this was a weak point, that this was where the plan would fall apart. It was irritating that he was right. I couldn't open my comm channel to the hopper or the hopper's feed without Gray Chris knowing, and we still needed to get them and their sec units away from their habitat. I said, "She knows you mean to kill her. She won't come." Then I had another brilliant idea and added, "She's a planetary admin for a system non-corporate political entity. She's not stupid." "What?" Green demanded. "What political entity?" I said, "Why do you think the team is called Preservation?" This time they didn't bother to close their channel. Yellow said, "We can't kill her. The investigation..." Green added, "He's right. We can hold her and release her after the settlement agreement." Blue leader snapped, "That won't work. If she's missing, the investigation would be even more thorough. We need to stop that beacon launch, then we can discuss what to do."
she told me. Go get her. Get her out of the hopper and then bring her here.
She cut the comm off again. Then one of the Deltfall sec units started forward. She came back on to say,
This unit will help you.
I waited for it to reach me, then turned and walked beside it down the slope of rock into the trees. What I did next was predicated on the assumption that she had told the Deltfall sec unit to kill me. If I was wrong, we were screwed, and Mensa and I would both die, and the plan to save the rest of the group would fail, and Preservation Aux would be back to where it started, except minus their leader, their sec unit, and their little hopper. As we left the rocky slope and turned into the trees, the brush and branches screening us from the edge of the plateau, I slung an arm around the other unit's neck, deployed my arm weapon, and fired into the side of its helmet where its comm channel was. It went down on one knee, swinging its projectile weapon toward me, energy weapons unfolding out of its armor. With the combat override module in place, its feed was cut off, and with its comm down, it couldn't yell for help. Also, depending on how strictly they had limited its voluntary actions, it might not be able to call for help unless the Grey Chris humans told it to. Maybe that was the case, because all it did was try to kill me. We rolled over rock and brush until I wrenched its weapon away. After that, it was easy to finish off. Physically easy. I know I said sec units aren't sentimental about each other, but I wished it wasn't one of the Deltfall units. It was in there somewhere, trapped in its own head, maybe aware, maybe not. Not that it matters. None of us had a choice. I stood up just as Mensa slammed through the brush, carrying the mining tool. I told her, it's gone wrong. You have to pretend to be my prisoner. She looked at me, then looked at the Deltfall unit.
How are you going to explain that?
I started shedding armor, every piece that had a Preservation Aux logo on it, and leaned over the Deltfall unit as the pieces dropped away.
I'm going to be it, and it's going to be me.
Mensa dropped the mining tool and bent down to help me. We didn't have time to switch all the armor. Moving fast, we replaced the arm and shoulder pieces on both sides, the leg pieces that had the armor's inventory code, the chest and back piece with the logos. Mensa smeared my remaining armor pieces with dirt and blood and fluid from the dead unit, so if we had missed anything distinctive, Grey Chris might not notice. Sec units are identical in height and build, the way we moved. This might work. I don't know. If we ran away now, the plan would fail. We had to get them off this plateau. As I resealed the helmet, I told Mensa, We have to go. She nodded, breathing hard, more from nerves than exertion. I'm ready. I took her arm and pretended to drag her back toward the Grey Chris group. She yelled and struggled convincingly the whole way. When we reached the plateau, a Grey Chris hopper was already landing. As I pulled her toward Blue Leader, Mensa got in the first word. She said,
So, this is the arrangement you offered.
Blue Leader said,
You're the planetary admin of preservation?
Mensa didn't look at me. If they tried to hurt her, I'd try to stop them and everything would go horribly wrong. But Green was already getting into the hopper. Two other humans were in the pilot's and co-pilot seats. Mensa said,
Yes.
Yellow came toward me and touched the side of my helmet. It took a tremendous effort for me not to rip his arm off, and I'd like that noted for the record, please. He said,
Its comm is down.
To Mensa, Blue Leader said,
We know one of your people is trying to manually trigger our beacon. If you come with us, we won't harm him, and we can discuss our situation. This doesn't have to go badly for either of us.
She was very convincing. She had probably been the one to talk to Deltfall on the comm, asking to be let into their habitat. Mensa hesitated, and I knew she didn't want it to look like she was giving in too quickly, but we had to get them out of there, now. She said,
Very well.
I hadn't ridden in the cargo container for a while. It would have been comforting and homey, except it wasn't my cargo container. But this hopper was still a company product, and I was able to access its feed. I had to stay very quiet to keep them from noticing me, but all those hours of surreptitiously consuming media
came in handy. Their sex system was still recording. They must mean to delete all that before the pickup transport showed up. Client groups had tried that before, to hide data from the company so it couldn't be sold out from under them, and the company systems analysts would be on the alert for it. But I don't know if these people realized that. The company might catch them even if we didn't survive. That wasn't a very comforting thought. As I accessed the ongoing recording, I heard Mensa saying, "Know about the remnants in the unmapped areas. They were strong enough to confuse our mapping functions. Is that how you found them?" Bharadwaj had figured that out last night. The unmapped sections weren't an intentional hack, they were an error caused by the remnants that were buried under the dirt and rock. This planet had been inhabited at some point in its past, which meant it would be placed under interdict, open only to archaeological surveys. Even the company would abide by that. You could make big, illegal money off of excavating and mining those remnants, and that was obviously what Grey Chris wanted. "That isn't the conversation we should be having," Blue Leader said. "I want to know what arrangement we can come to." "To keep you from killing us like you did Deltfall," Mensa said, keeping her voice even. "Once we're in contact with our home again, we can arrange for a transfer of funds. But how can we trust you to leave us alive?" There was a little silence.
"Oh, great. They don't know either."
Then Blue Leader said, "You have no option except to trust us." We were slowing down already, coming in for a landing. There had been no alerts on the feed, and I was cautiously optimistic. We had cleared the field for Pin Lee and Garothan as much as we could. They had had to hack the perimeter without that one last sec unit noticing and get close enough to access the Grey Chris hub system feed. Hopefully it was the last sec unit. Hopefully there weren't a dozen more somehow in the Grey Chris habitat. Garothan had figured out how to use the hack from their hub system into our hub system to get access, but he needed to be close to their habitat to actually trigger their beacon. That was why we had to get the other sec units out of there. That was the idea, anyway. Possibly it would have worked without putting Mensa in danger, but it was a little late to second-guess everything. It was a relief when we thumped down into a landing that must have made the humans' teeth rattle. I deployed out of the pod with the other units. We were a few kilos from their habitat, on a big rock above a thick forest, lots of avians and other fauna screaming down in the trees, disturbed by the hopper's hard landing. Clouds had come in, threatening rain and obscuring the view of the ring. The beacon's vehicle was in a launch tripod about 10 meters away, and... uh-oh, that is way too close. I joined the three other sec units as we made a standard security formation. An array of drones launched from the craft to create a perimeter. I didn't look at the humans as they walked down the ramp. I really wanted to look at Mensa for instructions. If I was alone, I could have sprinted for the end of the plateau, but I had to get her out of there. Blue Leader stepped forward with Green. The others gathered in a loose circle behind her, like they were afraid to get in front. One, who must have been getting reports from their sec units and drones, said, "No sign of anybody." Blue Leader didn't answer, but the two Grey Chris sec units jogged toward the beacon. Okay, the problem is, I've mentioned this before, the company is cheap. When it comes to something like a beacon that just has to launch once if there's an emergency, send a transmission through the wormhole, and then never gets retrieved, they're very cheap. Beacons don't have safety features and use the cheapest possible launch vehicles. There's a reason you put them a few kilos from your habitat and trigger them from a distance. Mensa and I were supposed to distract Grey Chris and their sec units while this was going on, get them away from the habitat, not end up as toast in the beacon launch. With the delay caused by Blue Leader deciding to grab Mensa, time was getting close. The two sec units were circling the beacon's tripod, looking for signs of tampering, and I couldn't take it anymore. I started to walk toward Mensa. Yellow noticed me. He must have said something to Blue Leader on their feed because she turned to look at me. When the remaining Deltfall sec unit whipped toward me and opened fire,
I knew the light had dawned. I dove and rolled, coming up with my projectile weapon. I was taking hits all over my armor, but scoring hits on the other sec unit. Mensa ducked around the other side of the hopper, and I felt a thump rattle through the plateau. That was the beacon's primary drive, dropping out of its casing to the bottom of the tripod, getting ready to ignite. The other two sec units had stopped, Blue Leader's surprise freezing them in place. I bolted, took a hit in a weak armor joint that went through to my thigh, and powered through it. I made it around the hopper and saw Mensa. I tackled her off the edge of the rock, turning to land on my back, curling an arm over her suit helmet to protect her head from impact. We bounced off rocks and crashed through trees, then fire washed over the plateau and knocked out my unit offline. Oh, that hurt. I was lying in a ravine, rocks and trees overhanging it. Mensa was sitting next to me, cradling an arm that looked like it didn't work anymore, and her suit was covered with tears and stains. She was whispering to someone on the comm, "Careful, if they pick you up on their scanner." Unit offline. "That's why we need to hurry," Garathan said, who was suddenly standing over us. I realized I had lost some time again. Garathan and Pin Lee had been on foot, making their way toward the Grey Kris habitat through the cover of the forest. We had meant to go pick them up in the little hopper if everything didn't go to shit, which it did, but only partly, so yay for that. Pin Lee leaned over me and I said, "This unit is at minimal functionality and it is recommended that you discard it. It's an automatic reaction triggered by catastrophic malfunction. Also, I really didn't want them to try to move me because it hurt bad enough the way it was. Your contract allows..."
"Shut up!"
Mensa snapped.
"You shut the fuck up! We're not leaving you!"
My visual cut out again. I was sort of still there, but I could tell I was hovering on the edge of a systems failure. I had flashes off and on. The inside of the little hopper, my humans talking, Arata holding my hand. Then, being in the big hopper as it was lifting up, I could tell from the drive noise, the flashes of the feed, that the pickup transport was bringing it on board. That was a relief. It meant they were all safe. And I let go. Chapter 8. I came back to awareness in a cubicle. The familiar acrid odor and hum of the systems as it put me back together. Then I realized it wasn't the cubicle at the habitat. It was an older model, a permanent installation. I was back at the company station, and humans knew about my governor module. I poked tentatively at it, still non-functional. My media storage was still intact, too. Huh. When the cubicle opened, Rati was standing there. He was wearing regular civilian station clothes, but with the soft gray jacket with the Preservation Ox survey logo. He looked happy, and a lot cleaner than the last time I had seen him. He said, "Good news! Dr. Mensa has permanently bought your contract. You're coming home with us." That was a surprise. I went to finish processing, still reeling. It seemed like the kind of thing that would happen in a show, so I kept running diagnostics and checking the various available feeds to make sure I wasn't still in the cubicle, hallucinating. There was a report running on the local station news about Deltfall and Grey Kris and the investigation. If I was hallucinating, I think the company wouldn't have managed to come out of the whole mess as the heroic rescuers of Preservation Ox. I expected a suit skin and armor. But the station units that helped us out of processing when we had catastrophic injuries gave me the gray Preservation Ox survey uniform instead. I put it on, feeling weird, while the station units stood around and watched me. We're not buddies or anything, but usually they pass along the news, what happened while you were offline, what the upcoming contracts were. I wondered if they felt as weird as I did. Sometimes sec units got bought in groups, complete with cubicles by other companies. Nobody had ever come back from a survey and decided they wanted to keep their unit. When I came out, Rati was still there. He grabbed my arm and tugged me past a couple of human techs and out through two levels of secure doors and into the display area.
This was where the rentals were arranged, and it was nicer than the rest of the deployment center, with carpets and couches. Pin Lee stood in the middle of it, dressed in sharp business attire. She looked like somebody from one of the shows I liked. The tough yet compassionate solicitor coming to rescue us from unfair prosecution. Two humans in company gear were standing around like they wanted to argue with her, but she was ignoring them, tossing a data chip casually in one hand. One saw me and Rati and said, "Again, this is irregular. Purging the unit's memory before it changes hands isn't just a policy. It's best for the..." "Again, I have a court order," Pinley said, grabbed my other arm, and they walked me out. I had never seen the human parts of the station before. We went down the big multi-level center ring, past office blocks and shopping centers, crowded with every kind of people, every kind of bot, flash data displays darting around, 100 different public feeds brushing my awareness. It was just like a place from the entertainment feed, but bigger and brighter and noisier. It smelled good, too. The thing that surprised me is that nobody stared at us. Nobody even gave us a second look. The uniform, the pants, the long-sleeved t-shirt and jacket covered all my inorganic parts. If they noticed the data port in the back of my neck, they must have thought I was an augmented human. We were just three more people making our way down the ring. It hit me that I was just as anonymous in a crowd of humans who didn't know each other as I was in my armor, in a group of other sec units. As we turned into a hotel block, I brushed a public feed offering station info. I saved a map and a set of shift schedules as we passed through the doors into the lobby. There were potted trees twisting up into a hanging glass sculpture fountain. Real, not a holo. Looking at it, I almost didn't see the reporters until they were right up on us. They were augmented humans with a couple of drone cams. One tried to stop Pin Lee, and instinct took over, and I shouldered him off her. He looked startled, but I'd been gentle, so he didn't fall down. Pin Lee said, "We're not taking questions now." Shoved Rati into the hotel's transport pod, then grabbed my arm and pulled me in after her. It whooshed us around and led us out in the foyer of a big suite. I followed Pin Lee in, Rati behind us talking to someone on his comm. It was just as fancy as the ones on the media, with carpets and furniture and big windows looking down on the garden and sculptures in the main lobby. Except the rooms were smaller. I guess the ones in the shows are bigger to give them better angles for the drone cams. My clients? Ex-clients? New owners? Were here. Only everybody looked different in their normal clothes. Dr. Mensah stepped close, looking up at me.
"Are you all right?"
"Yes." I had clear pictures from my field camera of her being hurt, but all her damage had been repaired too. She looked different, in business clothes like Pin Lee's. "I don't understand what's happening. It was stressful. I could feel the entertainment feed out there, the same one I could access from the unit processing zone, and it was hard not to sink into it." She said,
"I've purchased your contract. You're coming back to preservation with us. You'll be a free agent there."
"I'm off inventory." They had told me that, and maybe it was true. I had the urge to twitch uncontrollably, and I had no idea why. Can I still have armor? It was the armor that told people I was a sec unit. But I wasn't sec anymore, just unit. The others were so quiet. She said, even and calm,
"We can arrange that, as long as you think you need it."
I didn't know if I thought I needed it or not. "I don't have a cubicle." She was reassuring.
"You won't need one. People won't be shooting at you. If you're hurt or your parts are damaged, you can be repaired in a medical center."
If people won't be shooting at me, what will I be doing? Maybe I could be her bodyguard.
"I think you can learn to do anything you want," she smiled. "We'll talk about that when we get you home."
Arata walked in then and came over and patted my shoulder.
"We're so glad you're with us," she said. She told Mensah,
The Deltfall representatives are here. Mensa nodded. I have to talk to them, she told me. Make yourself comfortable here. If there's anything you need, tell us. I sat in a back corner and watched while different people came in and out of the suite to talk about what had happened. Solicitors, mostly. From the company, from Deltfall, from at least three other corporate political entities, and one independent, even from Greycrisp's parent company. They asked questions, argued, looked at security records, showed Mensa and Pin Lee security records. And they looked at me. Garothan watched me too, but he didn't say anything. I wondered if he had told Mensa not to buy me. I watched the entertainment feed a little to calm down, then pulled everything I could about the Preservation Alliance from the station's information center. No one would be shooting at me because they didn't shoot people there. Mensa didn't need a bodyguard there. Nobody did. It sounded like a great place to live if you were a human or augmented human. Rati came over to see if I was all right, and I asked him to tell me about preservation and how Mensa lived there. He said when she wasn't doing admin work, she lived on a farm outside the capital city with two marital partners, plus her sister and brother and their three marital partners, and a bunch of relatives and kids who Rati had lost count of. He was called away to answer questions from a solicitor, which gave me time to think. I didn't know what I would do on a farm. Clean the house? That sounded way more boring than security. Maybe it would work out. This was what I was supposed to want. This was what everything had always told me I was supposed to want. Supposed to want. I'd have to pretend to be an augmented human, and that would be a strain. I'd have to change, make myself do things I didn't want to do, like talk to humans like I was one of them. I'd have to leave the armor behind. But maybe I wouldn't need it anymore. Eventually things settled down, and they had dinner brought in. Mensa came and talked to me some more about preservation, what my options would be there, how I would stay with her until I knew what I wanted. It was pretty much what I'd already figured from what Rati had told me. You'd be my guardian, I said. Yes, she was glad I understood. There are so many education opportunities. You can do anything you want. Guardian was a nicer word than owner. I waited until the middle of the off shift, when they were all either asleep or deep in their own feeds, working on their analysis of the assessment materials. I got up from the couch and went down the corridor, and slipped out the door. I used the transport pod and got back to the lobby, then left the hotel. I had the map I had downloaded earlier, so I knew how to get off the ring and down toward the lower port work zones. I was wearing a survey team uniform and passing as an augmented human, so nobody stopped me or looked twice at me. At the edge of the work zone, I went through into the dock workers' barracks, then into the equipment storage. Besides tools, the human workers had storage cubbies there. I broke into a human's personal possessions locker and stole work boots, a protective jacket, and an enviro mask and attachments. I took a knapsack from another locker, rolled up the jacket with the survey logo and tucked it into the bag, and now I looked like an augmented human traveling somewhere. I walked out of the work zones and down the big central corridor into the port's embarkation zone, just one of hundreds of travelers heading for the ship ring. I checked the schedule feeds and found that one of the ships getting ready to launch was a bot-driven cargo transport. I plugged into its access from the station side lock and greeted it. It could have ignored me, but it was bored and greeted me back and opened its feed for me. Bots that are also ships don't talk in words. I pushed the thought toward it that I was a happy servant bot who needed a ride to rejoin its beloved guardian and didn't want company on its long trip. I showed it how many hours of shows and books and other media I had saved to share. Cargo transport bots also watch the entertainment feeds, it turns out. I don't know what I want. I said that at some point, I think. But it isn't that. It's that I don't want anyone to tell me what I want, or to make decisions for me.
That's why I left you, Dr. Mensa, my favorite human. By the time you get this, I'll be leaving Corporation Rim. Out of inventory and out of sight. Murderbot. End message. The End. This book was read for you by Kevin R. Free, a member of SAG-AFTRA. We hope you've enjoyed this production of All Systems Read by Martha Wells, narrated by Kevin R. Free. Recorded Books offers a wide selection of bestsellers, mysteries, classics, histories, and more, so look for us at your public library or on download sites online. And thank you for being a Recorded Books reader.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.